What is prescribed for medical use but insurance won't pay? Tetrahydrocannabinol. I'm David Brancaccio. First, how to make sense of the Federal Reserve this week opting out of raising interest rates this time in the face of economic data pointing the other way. On Friday's, Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial, is here to help. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
You know, when the central bank spoke in the middle of this week, their outlook was really for a quite strong economy, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Fed's GDP forecast doubled. The Fed's expectation for the unemployment rate plunged. Their year-end inflation forecast, as a result, quite a bit higher. And the dot plot, as a result, that's the thing that shows where they all think rates will be at the end of the year. Well, all but two of them think it's imperative they need to raise interest rates.
So why, oh why, I'll say it a third time, oh why did they not raise interest rates this week?
That is a really good question. And reading through the transcript of the press conference and the Fed statement, well, there really is no explanation except between the lines. I think they're still really nervous about the situation in banking. But the situation in banking is one of those things that the Fed is aware if they overtly worry about it, they could make it worse. And so they don't talk about it, but they're clearly watching it. And I think what they're hoping is that things will continue to calm down in the next 6 weeks and they'll raise rates in July.
But also there's another part to that, right? Which is that when the banks are nervous, which they've been since spring, they might be less willing to lend, and that has the same effect of slowing down the economy a bit.
That's exactly right. And we did hear between meetings from several Fed participants, including Chris Waller, one of the governors, saying that they don't have data showing significant credit tightening yet. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. They just don't have very much data, and they'll have a lot more information by July. So Powell did say that in the meeting. There's more than one way to tighten conditions. The Fed funds rate isn't the only thing. And of course, that was a reference to tighter loan standards at the banks in reaction to deposit declines.
Chris Lowe, chief economist, FHN Financial. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is headed to China. He'll be following in the footsteps of a private sector visiting dignitary, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
It's not clear who Secretary of State Blinken will meet with on his China trip, but Bill Gates sat down with Chinese President Xi Jinping. According to the government-run China Daily newspaper, Xi said Gates was, in Xi's words, the first American friend I've met in Beijing this year. The paper says Xi went on to add that people should travel and communicate more to increase their understanding as the world emerges from the pandemic. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the city of Beijing will each contribute $50 million toward fighting infectious diseases. Things might not be so cordial with Blinken. An earlier trip to China was canceled after the discovery of a Chinese spy balloon floating over the U.S., but the State Department says it wants to open reliable lines of communication between Washington and Beijing and is looking for areas where the two countries can cooperate. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We're also following news that Google's parent company, Alphabet, is warning its own employees not to put queries about sensitive company info into artificial intelligence-powered chatbots, like the company's own Bard system. The chatbots learn from these and can spit the info out elsewhere. That message was for Alphabet Google workers. The rest of you are on your own.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
It's now more than three dozen states that have legalized cannabis products for medical use. But for some patients, that's not an affordable option. Insurers and Medicare cover FDA-approved medications in most cases, but those who choose medical cannabis typically pay out of pocket. For seniors especially, paying for their palliative of choice can be a considerable expense. Karen Michelle reports.
At a recent trade fair, Cannastock, in Poughkeepsie, New York, some cannabis vendors shared their homegrown, others their company's extensive lineup.
We really look at it as concierge medicine.
Jess Foyer is marketing director for Etain, which has four medical cannabis dispensaries in New York.
So we have water-soluble powder, we have lozenges, we have tinctures, we have sprays, because a lot of people want these different alternatives to not be smoking.
That includes older customers from the Just Say No generation or who have respiratory issues. Any of those forms of cannabis can set a customer back more than $50 unreimbursable, as Foyer is aware.
We give discounts to veterans, we give discounts to seniors. We want to help people that want to get off pharmaceuticals be able to use plant medicine instead.
Monica Bass is in her late 50s, retired, lives in Mississippi, and was born with sickle cell anemia. She tried prescription pain meds, but was leery of addiction. Her pain would make a grown man cry, she says, so she uses cannabis.
I haven't been to the dispensary since February 8th, five times.
That's once a month. Bass knows her church members disapprove of her use of cannabis, but she appreciates the benefits, if not the cost.
It's been well over $2,000.
Dr. Robert Welsh directs the National Center for Cannabis Research and Education at the University of Mississippi. He says that for older consumers who may be on a prescription cocktail, there are additional concerns.
The issue of what's known as polypharmacy.
Even though the research center has been around for 50 years, Welsh says there's been little rigorous study that would lead to commodification and standardization for patients.
Many patients over 50 are on already a whole host of drugs, and so there could be drug-drug interactions that need to be really monitored closely.
Add to that the need for human testing, with a significant number of, well, older subjects. That takes money and time, two things many seniors don't have. I'm Karen Michelle for Marketplace.
So more than three dozen states for medical use, as distinct from the two dozen, including D.C., that now have legalized cannabis products for recreational purposes. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.